Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. Happy to broadcast live from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy and an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from our revolutionary bold platform, our revolutionary radio show, and the official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party. This is Black Power Radio. Happy to thank the Black God for giving us another chance at life. And happy to thank our ancestors and all of our freedom fighters, our mathematicians, our geniuses, our rulers, our soldiers, our warriors, healers, and our killers. Happy to give thanks to them and all of those who laid the foundation that we stand on tonight. Have to open up giving thanks to a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who's 100% black man, uncompromising, unrelenting, unflinching with our enemy, who told the world and proved to the world that his purpose on this planet was to give our enemy, the white man, hell, the devil, hell from the cradle to the grave. Speak of our black power general, the black history hitman, talking about the man whom we have celebrated and we're tributing tonight, and we've been tributing all week. As you'll hear from Brooklyn, New York, the national and international tribute to our Black Power General, brought to you by our national chairman, the attorney at war, five-star general. I call him the Pan-African Assassin. I'm talking about our national chairman and founder of Black Lawyers for Justice, who you'll be hearing more about that, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. In case you didn't know, we celebrated this past Saturday, January the 12th, the birth anniversary of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And there was many who was tuned in to all of our networks and our radio broadcasts and everything that we had going on. And we had some technical issues, some serious technical issues. And we apologize. The meeting itself, fantastic. And everything that was supposed to happen, happened. And we give thanks. But those of you who wanted to tune in and get it, you couldn't get it. And so we want to give thanks to our national chairman for being aware of your needs and being aware of the black nation and knowing that we have to get this message out all the way over to Azania, South Africa, and London, England, up in Canada, and Toronto, and all across the world, right here in the United States as well. We're going to get it to you. So tonight, you will hear live for the first time since the tribute that we did Saturday in Brooklyn, New York, You're going to hear live the national tribute and international tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, with the focus from our national chairman, Dr. Malik Lushabaz, on Panthonomics, the focus on what to do when stopped by the police, the focus on the state of the black nation and the black family. And so briefly, we say for about 5 minutes, we're going to let another bold black man in who served with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad as his national assistant. And he's going to say a few words on this tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad on his behalf and his times with him for about 5 minutes. And we're going right into the speech. I want to bring right away in our National Chief of Staff of the New Black Panther Party. This is Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Your honor.
Brother, it's such an honor to bring up the name of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. You know, so many of us have came to this planet, left this planet, and after the people, our family, leave the graveyard, some of our names are never mentioned again. Never mentioned again. George Washington Carver said, if God bless you to come to this earth,
all right, Minister Hashim Nzinga, his call had dropped. Man, he was getting into it. Try to give him a quick little second to get in. We don't want to take too much time at all because we got to get right to this tribute and this keynote address from our national chairman, the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. But I did want to give him a second and a chance to just say a word on the Black Power General, as he had labored with him along with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and many others. And, of course, those of you out there in the radio listening audience, those of you who love our Black Power General and love our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, this is an important broadcast for you. This is a very important broadcast for you and a very important broadcast for us, because this is the time that our national chairman has said that he want to talk direct to the black nation. You're going to hear him talk about it. He said he want to talk direct to the black nation. He doesn't want to appease anybody. He want to talk about our condition, our state of affairs, and what's going on with us and where we must go. Without, you know, the cut and without the spin and without the frill. I want to talk straight. And for the first time in a long time, which he's been doing for many years, but on this stage and in this platform and this hour, our national chairman laid it out in New York. And he laid out a vision for where the black nation must go and where we have to progress to in 2013. He's got a vision for his legal skills and a vision to put his law practice and law degrees and degrees to work for the black nation in a real spirit of Huey P. Newton, who used that law book to thwart our enemies, and in the real spirit of a minister, Malcolm X, who wanted to be an attorney and was told he couldn't be an attorney because he was black. Well, that energy is constant, and it has been bottled up into a black warrior in our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and he's carrying out the mission. And he said that many of you are familiar with Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. We're familiar with that brother, that warrior, that soldier. You're familiar with that, but you're not as familiar with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And you're not as familiar with the brother who knows political science and knows that law and knows history and knows what it takes to free your minds and free your behinds. And so many of our family members are in jail, trumped up charges, police brutality, frame up, set up, caught up, just black and trapped in America. And we have tried all kinds of options, but you have not really tried what our national chairman has suggested. You have not tried or even learned how to defend yourself in this criminal justice system. And so he's put out a brochure, which he's going to talk to you about, and try to give Minister Hashim a chance to get online. If we can't get him back online, we're going to have to roll right into the talk. But you're going to hear about the way that he's putting this brochure out and putting things out that will educate us, not only in our history, but how to defend ourselves. So I don't see Minister Hashim, so we'll try to at some point get him back in the show so that he can say a word. I guess his phone died. But we're going to go right into it now. This is live. This is live from our national and international tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad on his Earth Day. We're talking Revolution 2013 from Brooklyn, New York. All of you who could not hear it and could not view it even properly, and those who missed it, this is the time to get it and to tell others about it. And so I'd say text, email, call, and let people know that it's on. We're going live now to Brooklyn, New York, and the national and international tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Black power.
Warriors. And we're now going to bring them on all the way from Washington, D.C. Let's show him some love. Y'all, let's show him some New York love. Let's show him some Brooklyn love. Let's give him some Black Power.
All of the organizers will stand around and applaud.
Just a little bit. Turn up a little.
Come on, brothers and sisters. Black power.
Black power.
Hold on,
I can't hear y'all.
Black power, brother.
Black power.
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 Black power. Assalamu alaikum.
Hotel.
Hotel. Free the land.
Free the land.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Pass the ammunition.
Pass the ammunition.
Giving honor to God, I bear witness that regardless of land or label or language, regardless of ritual, rite, or religion, I bear witness that there is but one God. My dear sisters and brothers, if we search our text of Scripture of the Bible, we can find no other people fitting the description of the lost brother or the lost sister or the lost sheep than we, the 40 to 50 million or more mentally, morally, spiritually dead Black men and women bound in the bowels and hells of North America. The Bible says we've been lost. We say lost from our name, lost from our religion, lost from our culture, our God, and many of us, by the way we act, we have even lost our minds. But we thank that God for being merciful. We thank that God for, in the spirit of Maya, bringing balance to the African Holocaust. And so as we have the principles of the goddess Maya that teaches us about truth, order, balance, harmony, righteousness, and reciprocity, out of our suffering, I thank that God for Harriet Tubman. I think I can't hear you. I'm going to tell you right now, before we get started, if you're listening on this webcast or this radio broadcast, or you're listening in New York, and your spirit is down by the grace of God, I'm going to pump you up in the name of Khalid Abdul Muhammad tonight. So we thank that God for having us up. Thank that God for so generous. Thank that God for Reverend Nat Turner. Thank that God for the Honorable Marcus Mosiah God. Thank that God for Minister Malcolm X. Thank that God for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank that God for the members of the Black Panther Party from the 1960s. Thank our God for Patrice Lumumba. Thank our God for Robert Chibuwe. Thank our God for Kwame Nkrumah. Thank our God for Kwame Ture. Thank our God for John Henry Clark. Thank our God for all of those some drowned in the lakes, the rivers, brooks, and streams. Names are unknown. Laborers who labored and died for this cause. My dear sisters and brothers here in New York City at the Brooklyn Christian Life Center, if I live to be 1,000, or I don't quite make it to 1,000, maybe just 969, if I live to be the ripe old age of Methuselah, I can never thank God enough for a bold, bald-headed black man who laid his feet in the hills of North America January the 12th, 1948. He made a bold statement, and he backed it up 100%. He said he was born to give the white man hell, from the cradle to the grave. I'm talking about a master teacher, a warrior, a man who has had tremendous effect on those who are listening and those who are watching. I'm talking about Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And in his name, a name that is high and exalted and recognized among all the names of the greats.
Yes, sir.
In his name, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, we gather here tonight. So again, Black Power.
Black Power.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Hotep.
Hotep.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Free the land. And this time, black law for all black people. My beloved black family in New York, I won't be long, but I must be strong. To the leadership here, for our team from the Committee to Honor Black People.
Ali.
And our team, who's not here. Ali and his partner, our team, both of them, from Committee to Honor Black Heroes, Imam Akbar Bilal here, Abdul Haq from the December 12th Movement, from the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition and radio host Bashir Akinyele. Give me your name again, Pastor. I'm sorry. Dr. Cabbage Stump. That's a bad man. Yeah. Appreciate his words. Give him a black hand.
Right.
Give him a strong hand. Think of it after Sean Bell. We were together at Sean Bell rallies and demonstrations here in the city. I haven't been here in over a year. Yeah. And to our other rostrum guests and dignitaries, give them a strong round of applause. To the National Field Marshal of the Panther Party, King Samir Shabazz, give it to him, hard driver, soldier. To the local Panther leadership here in New York.
Okay, I'm trying to talk to you about how to do this.
He's on that phone right now. I'm talking about Shaheed and Shah and Khadija and the others. Give New York a round of applause. And to the staff of the Panther Party who has arranged this webcast, after much fussing and maybe a little cussing, by myself, we are all the way live around the country, and they're tuning in also from Azania, South Africa, from England, and other areas around on this day. Our sent by God to us, and specific to the African International Merchants Agency and to Baba Obalewa and Sister Queen Yah Asantewa. Let's give them a black man. Really stand on your feet and give them a round of applause for 12 years. For 12 years they have held alive and have honored Dr. Muhammad, who reigns, sleeps, snores, and yet now they have honored him. Give him a strong round of applause. The African International Merchant Agency. Turn that phone off. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
And of course, on behalf of Black Lawyers for Justice. Tonight, dear sisters and brothers, we'll get right into the point. I don't have, brother, could you please turn that down? Sorry about that. I try to get up what they call a keyblow or focal point here. We are here today, dear sisters and brothers, more than just a speech tonight.
All right.
We are here tonight because we had many speeches,
all right,
many programs, many forms that are taking place in the black conscious community all over this nation. Many forms, many programs, many teachers have come before us. Here, January 12, 2013, as we come here in the spirit of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, we have to go beyond tonight the mere honoring of Dr. Muhammad.
All right, all right.
The mere praising of his legacy, that's fine. For 12 years. But I have asked these brothers and sisters to be a part of this program. I've asked to come to New York City. New York City is supposed to be the heartbeat of Black America. New York City, you are the most conscious. You're the most knowledgeable. You're the most connected to Malcolm, the most connected to Marcus Garvey, the most connected and rooted in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Noble Ju Ali, and all the great nationalists and Pan-Africanists that have come before us. It is you, New York,
tell it, brother.
All right.
That have had your consciousness and your brains bathed with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the example of struggle of those that have gone before us.
All right.
We're in a serious condition as a nation, as a people.
That's right. That's right.
And we're in a leadership crisis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We are in a leadership crisis. We have a black man in the White House.
Well.
Regardless to his parentage, even if the father's black and the mother's white, black genes are dominant, white genes are recessive. He's a woolly-haired black man in the White House.
Go ahead on now. Go ahead on.
And his wife is extra black.
Go ahead on now.
Nevertheless,
all right.
Don't get too excited. We have to look at where we are and where we're going in 2013. Where is the black conscious movement headed in 2013?
Yes,
where
sir.
Is the liberation struggle headed in 2013?
Yes, sir.
That's are we going to keep going around and around in circles? I should say not. Of all the teachings, of all the doctrine, of all the knowledge that we have that has been brought to us, it is us who is listening. It is you who are in this audience that have the keys to the liberation of black people.
All right.
It is these organizations with this knowledge. There's no disrespect. It is not the NAACP. No disrespect to them. It is not the National Action Network. It is not the civil rights organization that have the knowledge and the tenacity and the dedication and the uncompromising spirit that will save our people in the time of the fall of America. It is not the civil rights leadership that will bring about a nation of our own. It is not the civil rights leadership that will be able to bring our babies, our youth, into a knowledge of self. It is not them. Though we love them, though we desire to work with them, tonight I'm going to make an ideological distinction between where we are and where we must go, and we have to lay down the gauntlet. And then take upon ourselves as a black nationalist community. Is this a black nationalist community? You ask me, am I a black nationalist? Are my hands going to raise? My fist is going high in the air. How many of you in the audience say you're a black nationalist? How many say you're a pan-Africanist? How many say you're black conscious? I'm talking to the right audience. And in the audience around the country, we have liberation organizations around the country that are listening. The Black Riders Liberation Party, militant on the ground street organization, a new generation of Panthers also. They're on the line from Los Angeles and Oakland. The All African People's Revolutionary Party, who are here and in other parts of Africa who are fighting and struggling to rebuild, they are on the line. The Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania in South Africa, and those who are on the front lines for the real liberation of Southern Africa, they are on the line.
All right.
Others in the RBG movement, or the Black Nationalist movement, or the Black Power movement, they are on the webcast, they are on the radio line, and they are seated on this stage, and they are right here in this roster. I have not come to play with you today, because we need leadership badly. We have brothers and sisters that will follow the program. They will take to the front lines. They believe in our teaching and our doctrine. Black power. Black power and economics for black people.
Yes.
Control of our educational system. Black power in the field of education. Police brutality, a major problem. Resistance and defense against police brutality and police abuse. Those are here in the audience and are listening that want relief from that. Let's take a look at some major issues affecting us, and then tonight we're going to see where we're headed. You could say this is like, and I still won't be long, but this is like a State of the Black Nation address. Where somebody will talk direct to you and not try to appease, quote unquote, all Americans.
Come on.
Because every one of them civil rights leaders and Mr. President himself, they cannot afford to speak directly to black people, or even if they can afford to, they won't pay the price of speaking directly to black people. And so leadership today that will just speak honestly and forthrightly to the aims and the objectives and the pain and the suffering of black people, that leadership is precious and is under attack. But I accept the challenge. I accept the challenge.
We got your back, too. We got your back, too.
Hey, international issues. South Africa or Zania, where we are taking a major delegation from the Panther Party and from Black Lawyers for Justice and other activists, we're headed to Africa. But South Africa is in trouble. They say, don't tell us about a sham independence. In the 1990s under Mr. Mandela, they say in Azania, South Africa, the masses are saying, don't tell us about a sham independence. They say that the white man, the white colonialist, still controls and dominates and rules in South Africa. That 87% of black people who are in the country and make up the population, the original population, that they are landless, that they are powerless, and that a puppet Uncle Tom regime has been set up that serves European colonial and white masses, and that keeps the masses of black people in poverty, landless, homeless, without electricity, without education. We gotta talk about this tonight.
Let's talk about it.
The Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania is listening in tonight, and they want to know, do we recognize and understand their struggle? In Africa, let's take a look at it.
Can we move that there, brother? Thank you, sir.
In Africa, 30,
that camera's working? That's the web camera?
No, that one.
That one.
Right.
You better be on that one. We on that one, so if I move, I don't go off the screen. My dear brother, that's Pop Gaskins. He's my man. Now I'm going to work. They on that one. Somebody else can get on that one. Be on that one that they watch.
All right. Trying to take advantage of some technology to reach our people.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Remember this. Nobody's speaking this kind of message is rare. You're not hearing it from us or some of us on this roster, or you're not hearing it from Minister Louis Farrakhan, and you're not hardly getting it at all. In Africa is under the threat of invasion right now.
That's right. That's right.
The United States troops that are being withdrawn from Afghanistan, they're not coming home. The United States military industrial complex will not have them return home. And the President of the United States is not bringing them home. 35 African countries stated to be on the target list for United States troops to be deployed right now, 50,000 of them to be deployed in over 35 African countries. To fight whom? To fight what? Under the guest of what they call AFRICOM. Under a scheme to find a new boogeyman in Africa. To test new weapons. To infiltrate and turn African governments into a new area, a new era of colonialism or neo-colonialism or automatic, systematic remote control. 35 African countries slated to receive 20,000 U.S. troops, and the United States government is doing everything, including bribery, coercion, pressure, stress, and duress to force African countries to accept United States troops in over 35 nations.
Everything.
Where is black leadership on this question?
Good question.
Where is the traditional leadership that we have depended on and sometimes relied on that would speak truth to power of the President of the United States or to raise African issues? Where are they?
No. Good question.
Drones. Fly in the skies of the 196,940,000 square miles. Drones now
over the 57,255,000 square miles of the planet. By remote control and technology, have been able to take facial recognition technology and other information and create what is called a kill list. All of them Muslims. And a kill list on the desk. Yes, of the CIA.
That's right.
Yes, of the Defense Department. Yes, of the Pentagon. But a kill list, unfortunately, that is right on the desk of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The desk of the president.
All right, don't know what happened there. Go ahead and let it roll, Brother Shahid. Don't stop it. Keep it moving. Yeah, let that thing roll, Black man. Don't stop it at all. Are we still on the air? Yeah, we're still on. Brothers and sisters, right now we're waiting on the feedback to get back on. Just bear with us. This is live radio, and you're tuned in to
the
National Chapel. There he is.
Drones fly in the sky. Now the troops are being withdrawn from Afghanistan. Drones every day increasingly flying over the skies of Pakistan. Shooting and killing innocent targets, no due process, no charging of a crime, no information that would predicate a charge under international law, not even U.S. law, no law,
no law, no law.
Outright murder coming from this government and this house that we sit in. And we cannot afford to be no goddamn rubber stamp in 2013. We cannot afford, policy-wise, political-wise, morally, to now become rubber stamps. Because we have a good-looking man in the White House.
No.
Black power?
Black power?
Black power? Open your seatbelt. If your seat gets too hot, just fan it a little bit and sit back down. I don't mean to hurt any of your feelings. Bear with me for those who are on the webcast. If you're a voter and if you're a voter in the 2013 election,
you tell us the truth, brother.
And you voted, just hold with me. Don't run from me right now. Now I'm going to talk about real political accountability. I'm going to talk about real results from politics and not this rubber stamping minstrel show.
Education,
all right.
That we have been engaged in. You say, well, what do I care about Pakistan? What do I care about Afghanistan?
Well,
what do I care about Iran? Well, do you care about Mali? Do you care about Nigeria? Do you care about the Sudan? Do you care about Ethiopia?
Yes.
Do you care about Eritrea?
Yes.
Do you care about Somalia?
Yes.
Do you care about Uganda?
Yes.
Do you care about Chad?
Yes.
Do you care now that drones, unarmed planes, are flying the skies of Northern Africa?
Yes.
Flying the skies of the upper half of Africa, and it don't take much to get them into the lower half of Africa.
That's right. That's right.
To target, to kill, get your brothers and sisters some chairs, standing room only in here. If those of you are helping, just find some chairs and let the sisters be seated and the elders be seated. Give yourself a strong hand, brothers and sisters. You have packed this thing. Good, come out here. I can't go on all night. I'm going to hit these points and we're going to open up, but I got to hit these points. Somebody has to give a State of the Black Nation address. Somebody has to talk to black and African people and ain't worried about what the enemy got to say. Somebody has got to talk and not be worried about pleasing everybody, but pleasing God's people. Here in this audience, this is a moral choice. International events, international affairs, where's the civil rights leadership that used to criticize the United States government? Now they are in the hip pocket of the government.
That's right.
We love you, Reverend Sharpton. The black community will tell you that. They love Reverend Sharpton. But this is a New Testament Al Sharpton here. This New Testament Al Sharpton has no criticism of the White House at all, at no time whatsoever. Whatever the White House does, he says, thus saith the White House.
All right.
While you in the spiritual community are fighting to say, thus saith the Lord, Reverend Sharpton, Mark Morial of the Urban League, Ben Jealous of the NAACP, all of them are on Obama's hip pocket. They just want a meeting at the White House. They just want dinner at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And anything that the government does or does not do, their mouths are silent and shut with tape. And so there has to be a new leadership.
That's right.
There has to be a new leadership that will rise up that is not on the payroll of the White House.
Yes, sir.
Because if that man is going to be effective at all in the White House, he can't do it with a bunch of lackeys. And people shuffling and bootlicking and saying, I just happened to be here with Obama. I'm serious here. It's not a joke. It's not a plan. It's not a personal attack at all. I'm talking policy. We've lost an accountability with the White House, and therefore we're really doing Mr. Obama a disservice. You're doing him a disservice by fawning over him all the time. You're doing him a disservice by not pointing out the wrong. Every other community that has a disagreement with the United States government goes to that White House and forces that man to adopt their position.
Is that right?
The gays vote gay marriage as a staple in America, and they go there and say that they want gay marriage accepted in America, and it comes out. And it's now policy. The Jews, or what do they call Jews, want a policy on Israel? And they go right in that door and they come out with that policy on Israel. Where's our policy on Africa? Where's our policy on the black community, on ex-felons coming out of jail, violence problems, economic problems, unemployment problems, education problems, healthcare problems, social work problems? Where's the black voice demanding justice for black people? And damn it, where's the payback for all of them folks? Where is the accountability and the compensation for all of those votes?
Good question.
Now, we shouldn't really even have to ask for that. We should get it. But if you don't get it, at least we should be demanding it. And if nobody's demanding it, then all of this so-called leadership in the black community need to be wiped out.
That's right.
And a new leadership that is listening to this broadcast and agree with what I'm saying, we need to come together and form a united front.
Yes, sir.
And handle our business without fear and without compromise.
That's right.
Thank you. Give me a minute. I don't mean to be so serious. I come in the spirit of Khalid Muhammad. I come in the spirit of a man that was showed me nothing but seriousness and dedication and commitment. And the main thing that I appreciated about Mr. Muhammad.
Thank you.
It's
all right.
Thank you. Look.
How about that?
I've been criticized for my support of Mr. Obama. So don't think I'm some kind of hater. There's people on this rostrum that looked at me sideways when I came out to support Mr. Obama in 2008.
All right.
Well, you can't say that I didn't support black people. You can't say that I didn't try to be in tune with our aspirations and our goals and our high hopes and our high spirits. And you can't say that I didn't try to ride with us and take a positive position and see the positives in something that we knew was a contradiction from the beginning. Yes. But now, we got to get real. Because things are changing rapidly. On the national level, gun violence is putting us in a precarious position. You have a scenario here in Newtown, Connecticut, at Sandy Hook Elementary School, where 20 children were murdered and assassinated by a deranged gunman. Schools are not safe. And I'm here to tell you, schools are not safe, not only in the white community, schools are not safe in the black community. Violence. And now they're raising up all over America. In every state, white people are buying guns at record numbers. They have not retreated from guns. They have gone now to buy guns now in record numbers, and in anticipation of a gun ban, have gone on an all-out gun buying spree. How are we as parents, who have parents in the public school system, going to protect our babies? What is the prognosis and the potential for independent schools? Who is going to secure the schools? Should we just leave the doors wide open? These are real issues that we have to decide. But it's a dangerous time. America is born by the gun, and it looks like she's going to die by the gun.
That's right.
Born by the gun, and it's going to die with her gun. And so the question is on the table, is the black nation going to disarm?
No.
Or are we going to rearm?
Rearm.
Under our Second Amendment rights. These are questions. These are policy questions. Again, and I'm going to keep reiterating this, we're witnessing the death of a civil rights movement. Due to their desire to be near to the master, and to again be invited to presidential functions, they no longer speak to our concerns, no longer speak to police brutality, which should be addressed on a federal level, no longer speak to specific problems of ours that deal specifically. Let's get that light back on, even though it's hot. I still want it on. The demise of a genuine civil rights, human rights movement. And so it's got to mean the rise of a black conscious black power movement.
Yes, sir.
It's got to. Look, paychecks were cut on last payroll. Say amen.
Amen.
Federal taxes now dipping in further
issue called the fiscal cliff.
Yes.
And America has been on a fiscal cliff for a while. It's just coming out.
500 years.
Her economic policies, her exploitive and blood-sucking capitalist policies.
That's right, that's right.
Look at this situation in America. Here's a man, here's many men. Yeah, they throw the ball in the hoop, run for the touchdown.
That's right.
We applaud them. But here's a man making $9 million a year. And here's a teacher that teach our babies from the young age and raise them up and can barely get $24,000 a year. Homeless on the street in America, multi-billionaires and millionaires. No society like that can last forever. And it will not last forever. And so the fall of America, as it has been given to us and prophesied to us by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, is right here and right now.
That's right, that's right.
All they're doing is putting band-aids on it, putting tape on it. You say, oh no, her better days are ahead of her. I beg your pardon. You couldn't even, for those of you who are celebrating, you couldn't even enjoy Mr. Obama's victory. Because one day or so after the victory, the squabbling in the American legislature or the American political system let you know right away that they'll never get along. They can't even pass legislation. They can't even pass a bill together, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, Republicans and Democrats. You know, I'm like my teacher, Democratic Party or Republican Party. Most of us ain't even invited to the party, and it's not that kind of party. They couldn't agree with each other. They couldn't sit down at the table because they are not going to work together, and it has not been written and prophesied that they would work together.
Amen.
Police abuse right here in New York. How many of you, maybe as an attorney I'm just too preoccupied with it. How many of you believe that police abuse and police brutality is a major problem in the black community? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
That is fine. That's right. Some say genocide. And certainly it's always us being killed.
That's right.
Shot while unarmed. Shot and killed while running. It was an accident. It was a mistake. He looked like he was a threat. Yes, sisters and brothers. I finally got it finished. And that is my first brochure to the black nation, and it's called What Black People Need to Know When Dealing with the Police. It's right here, right now. You can go online at newblackpanther.com, and you can also get it on blfjustice.org.
Yeah,
we'll be there to work blfjustice.org. What black people need to know when dealing with the police. I have some of them now. They're fresh off the press. It's my first edition. As your attorney, and I'm going to say this before I talk about this. You heard the political Malik Zulu Shabazz, man. You have heard the chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. But I'm going to further acquaint you in 2013 with attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Black Lawyers for Justice, because somebody has to keep the fight that Alton Maddox began. Somebody has to keep up the fight that Chokwe Lumumba began. Somebody got to keep up the fight that Johnny Cochran began. Somebody has to be able to go behind enemy lines and get behind the well and all the way behind the Masonic line to deal with the traps, and the tricks of a legal system. And so, I will be attorney at law on the case. In 2013, I'll be trying many cases, and I'll be here to do what I really want to do, which is educate the public on your legal knowledge so you'll have some facts and some information as we begin to push back and counterattack in this war against police brutality. And so I've given this brochure that I have some here tonight that we will distribute, and again, you can go to BLF, B as in black, L as in lawyer, F as in four, blfjustice.org.
Uh-huh.
This is my legal site, and newblackpanther.com.
Uh-huh.
What are we going to be doing? What is this? I want this in the glove box of every black man and woman in America. I want this in your homes, in your backpacks. We have an application coming out for the iPhones and the cell phones.
Amen.
That you will be able to pull it up on your phones and download and send in videos and get immediate instructions. So we are not caught flipping out here with these police. It's the first stage of a counterattack that I'm talking about, because when it comes to police brutality and police abuse, we cannot afford just a one-sided strategy.
That's right.
We cannot afford, yes, we must march.
All right.
Yes, we must demonstrate. Yes, we must litigate. And some say, maybe not me from this roster, but some say we have to obliterate. We have to have a holistic strategy to deal with this problem. But I'm going to make a first step. And the Panther Party is going to help. We're going to take this information and these brochures and push this in the community all over America.
Amen.
And we are going to start challenging the police on the streets.
Amen.
When they're violating stop and frisk laws. When they're violating illegal searches of homes, of persons, of houses. And so I've taken a lot of time, and I really, really want y'all to study it. And not only do I want you to study it, I want you to embrace it, and then I want you to use it when you are stopped by the police. What am I talking about in here?
Civil rights.
I'm talking about ways, civil rights,
hello,
and your human rights. I talk about avoiding encounters with the police. I talk about Miranda.
Hello?
And Miranda v. Arizona. What to not say to the police. Now, they tell you from the beginning when you're detained or arrested, anything that can, that you say can or will be used against you. So you knew that from the beginning before you start talking, that anything you say will be used against you. Never once did they say anything you say will be used for you. So what you doing running off at the mouth? Every time the police stop us, trying to explain something away, you go running off at the mouth.
Amen. Thank you.
And every time we as lawyers get your case, admissions, confessions, statements made on the scene, things that the attorney has to go back and clean up. The number one, and I'm not going to go all into this, but I'm talking in here, is valuable knowledge. And the first piece of valuable knowledge that the black community needs to know when dealing with the police is to shut up. Hold your mouth.
Amen.
I give you case law to back it up. Anything you can say, anything you say can and will be used against you. If you're stopped, be quiet. If you're detained, be quiet. If you're arrested, be quiet. Even if you say you haven't done anything wrong, be quiet. Even if you're a so-called law-abiding citizen, be quiet. We as a nation have to start adapting policies and principles that we carry out, whether it's needed at that moment or not.
Preach, my brother.
You got to stand by a principle, a right, and a law that will benefit somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we have to send a message to the police that these people are waking up. Mm-hmm. So I stood here and I talked to you about Miranda v. Arizona and how to be quiet and what to say and not to say. I talked to you here about taking notes and videotaping. And don't let the police tell you that you cannot videotape the police and use your iPhones and your cell phones, because it's already been decided and redecided that not just the media have the right to videotape the police, but the people have the right to videotape the police at any time during the carrying out of their duties. And some of us are going to have to test this. Some of us are going to have to test this so it can come into more courts, as it has already come across federal court bridges and federal court decisions. But I'm telling you here in 2013, this organization here that you've been waiting on to deal with the police, you've been waiting on them to help you with police brutality. Is that right? Well, then they're going to get out on the streets and test it. Then this new Black Panther Party is going to be out here on the street testing this law and testing the police on all of that. And if they're not willing to do that, then they need to find another profession. Mm-hmm. Black power?
Black power.
But they are willing to do that. A couple more points. How should I conduct myself when stopped by the police? If I'm stopped by the police, do I have to talk? Do I have to show ID? And I'll show you why you don't have to show ID and how you tell them you don't have to show ID. Stop and frisk, which is being abused by the New York City Police Department and many police departments across the country, randomly approaching black men with no reasonable suspicion, no investigation of a crime involved, just stopping the young men and frisking them and patting down their pockets. No! That's going to have to stop. And if in any place it's going to stop, it's going to have to stop in New York City. Right here in New York. We got problems, but we got to have policy to solve problems. We have problems, but we can't just complain about the problems. We got to have policy to solve the problems.
Amen.
Now, we are going to begin to push back against stop and frisk in New York City. And so everybody, and all of you who are listening and who will get this brochure, don't consent to any kind of search from the police at any time, anywhere. Never consent. Did you hear what I said? Did I say any time? Did I say consent sometimes? Did I say allow them to search?
No.
One or two times?
No.
Did I say when?
No.
When?
Never.
When?
Never.
If it's 10 police officers around you and you're one person, are you going to get scared?
No.
Then we want to search your pockets right now.
No.
10 police officers show up at your door. I want to come in your house.
No.
All right. We got to get some things straight here now and start straightening up our backs. And if this law is worth the paper that it's written on, then we're going to have to challenge it. And so I want everybody in the black nation to get this brochure. It's going to be in a brochure form. It's big like this now. I just got it out the the printer, but I want it in your glove box. I want it in your home. I want the application that the brilliant ones are working with us on now in the organization. I want the brochure to be in your hands, and we're going to put it to work. I want those who are teachers, those of you who are teachers, you don't have to be a lawyer to have legal education. That's the trick they play on you. They want to make it seem like Attorney Maddox or Attorney Shabazz or Attorney Roger Wareham and others of our grace that they're the only ones who can know the law. We may have the degrees and the license, but we are not the only ones that can know the law. We're dedicated to making sure that you know the law. And so you take this pamphlet, this brochure, and you teach it. And teach it to our babies. Teach it in classes and spread it around, and you teach this law. And we want to spread this throughout the black nation. We need special rules as we're dealing with the police. We are not white people. And we are not given a break. And we are not treated fairly. And so black people got to have special advice. This is my first pamphlet. The next one I have coming out is called The Black Man's Guide to Child Support.
Hello.
Hello. The Black Man's Guide to Child Support. It's going to be deep. But you will appreciate it, black man. And black woman, you will appreciate it too.
Amen.
It's part of a book. Once these series of pamphlets are compiled, then by God's grace, I'll be able to come out with my first book. And it's called Black Law for All Black People. Black Law for All Black People. And so I just tell those points to show where we are on the issue of police brutality and where we're headed. And we'll be fighting in the courtroom, fighting on the streets, and we are calling on the black community to give us support when we ask you to take your iPhones and your cameras and to organize a part of a united front against police brutality and police abuse. We must have a united front and fight from the courtroom to the street and on all levels. And when I say all levels, I mean all levels. Down to the fulfillment of the exercising of your Second Amendment right to self-defense. Just a couple more points and I'll open up. Look, dear sisters and brothers, if you happen to hear more about this organization that I founded when I came out of Howard University School of Law called Black Lawyers for Justice. It's a group of attorneys that I'm organized and organizing with around the country so that the black lawyer will be able to make their proper contribution, their proper input on this struggle. I say, where are the lawyers? Where is the National Bar Association? Where are the black lawyers united? I know we have great attorneys in this town, Roger Worm and Michael Warren and others. But collectively, where is the black lawyer in the liberation struggle?
That's right.
Don't get confused if you hear about Black Lawyers for Justice. It's just another fight on the battlefield for Malik Zulu Shabazz, on another battlefield, but it's all the same war.
Amen.
Look, sisters and brothers, and I'm about to open up. So we have issues, international issues we got to face, national issues that we're facing.
That's right.
And certainly local issues that we're facing.
That's right.
Violence in the black community continues to be a major problem.
Yes.
On this rostrum is a gentleman and others who we have to, as we talk about 2013, we have to give them credit for the long weeks and weeks and weeks of work that they've been doing for years. I'm talking about the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition. Come on. Brother Bashir Akinyele, who is one of the leaders and one of the organizers. How many weeks?
Oh,
tonight, over 152 weeks straight of anti-violence demonstrations in the city of Newark. 152 weeks of consistent, constant, organized police abuse, against black-on-black violence in Newark. And now you have what the Trenton Anti-Violence Coalition, is that right? Are you in other cities?
Yeah, we're inspired like Trenton, Patterson, Jersey City, Camden.
Trenton is every third Sunday of the month.
All right, let's give him a hand, Brother Bashir. We're going to open up in a minute. He's going to share with us. These brothers and sisters here, as soon as I open up, they're going to share with us on the issue of violence. I want to point out that last year there was a great sign that could mean good things in 2013. The Nation of Islam and the Fruit of Islam, towards the end of 2012, took to the streets in the black community and into the projects in record numbers. It was a wave of FOI, of Fruit of Islam, and others in the nation who took to our community. I would hope to see more of that in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope to see more of that. Matter of fact, I'm going to say to those who are in the Nation of Islam or watching, stay out there on the street. Go back to the streets. We need the FOI in the streets.
Yeah.
We need the sisters and the queens of the Nation of Islam, the NGT. We need them in the streets. Stay in the streets in the fight against violence. And so, dear sisters and brothers, what I'm going to do right now, after raising these issues, I'm going to put a cap to this, because what I'm going to do is open up to some brilliant organizers who are here with me that will help us to understand one point I want to leave you with in the spirit of Khalid Muhammad. The white man cannot stop us. I don't care what anybody says. Our message tonight is do not fear the white man. Do not fear this quote-unquote system of white racism and white supremacy. The white man can't stop us. The only people and the only force that can stop the rise of our people in 2013 is the black man and woman themselves. We're the only ones that can stop ourselves. White racism is weakening. The white man right now is in a weakened state. He's barely fighting for his survival. And while he's fighting for his survival and the survival of his country and survival of his birthrate, just trying to produce more than he's losing. That's a battle for him right there. It's time for the black man and woman to come up.
Step up.
Stop blaming the white man for what you could be doing for yourself. I know that sounds strange coming from me, but I'm convinced after these years of struggle, I can come here right now as I conclude to give you expert advice. Expert political advice and legal advice and advice from being on these battlefields all across America and all across the world, being a professional organizer and an attorney on the front lines, I can give you some advice you can hold on to right now. Let me ask you this, man. Can the white man stop us from building black organizations?
No.
Can the white man stop us from giving our babies an education?
No.
Can the white man stop the black man from taking care of his babies?
No.
Can the white man stop the black man from stopping killing himself?
No.
Can the white man stop us from building a black economy?
No.
Can the white man stop us from uniting?
No.
We got to get our minds right. This movement here, you who are listening in this audience and these leaders here on this stage, if we will put our program together overnight, we would wipe the scourge of white supremacy off the face of the planet. Stop this lack of confidence. The white man can't do nothing to us.
Right,
high as a 6-ounce brain. Weak, recessive, depressive, grafted man. Gonna overpower the black guy. Huh? How are you, 5%er? Nation of Islam. Or other kind of person. How you gonna say the black man is God and then concede any kind of power to the white man? How you gonna teach that the black man is God and the black woman is goddess and allow them to rule over you?
That's right.
If you're a Christian, if we up here in the church, you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, how are we going to say we can do all things through Christ and believe in our hearts that we can do all things through a black Christ and a black Messiah? How are we going to believe that and then fear the devil? Huh? If we can do all things through Christ, we should be driving the devil off the planet in rapid time. It's time now to take power in a righteous way. It's time for this movement that is listening and that will participate in this dialogue to take charge of our pulse. We must have a united front. We must have a united liberation front. And we must take on our causes. And we must stand up like men and women and stop apologizing for our failures and stop fearing our enemy, for it is the time of his demise. Dear sisters and brothers, I got expert organizers up here. I'm happy to be with tonight. I got Brother Shep, who I've asked to come here and who will help conduct this session, and asked him to share his expert organizing skills. I study his organizing tactics and skills, and what he knows needs to be spread not just to the Panther Party, it needs to be known throughout the black nation. We need professional organizers and consultants and experts that can teach our people how to organize and serve the community.
That's right, that's right.
Black power? So look, let me be quiet, because I know Dr. Jeffries is coming soon. And when he comes, it's all over. It'll be all over. We love it. But let's do this. Let me open up now for questions, but not just for me, but for our guests. And some of our guests will share in the question and answer session. Go right ahead. My sister, my queen, right there. My elder. Y'all can help me out, all right?
All right.
All right, thank you. Because we got some experts. We got some veterans up here.
Thank
yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm interested in advocacy, and my question to you is, when I listen to the news and read the papers and see where the Christian churches are being burned down on Christmas Eve, I'd like for somebody to look into that. And who are burning down these churches?
Yes.
I think that's a big problem on the continent. And I think until the continent is free and settled, I think black people all over the world, we have a problem.
Yes, ma'am. First of all, and I'm gonna, y'all wanna help me, you can. I wanna say this, Sister Margaret Lamb. Sister Margaret, let's give her a round of applause. Sister Margaret, who speaks to the division in Africa, as well as many disturbing incidents of churches being burned and religious strife in Africa. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That is correct. And says that until we get Africa together, Brother Pops, you can show that audience too. Let the web, let the webcam see that audience there. We're in Brooklyn, New York, at the Brooklyn Christian Center. Am I right?
Brooklyn Christian Center, yeah.
Brooklyn Christian Center for allowing us in here. Let's give all of their leadership a strong hand. You know, when I told some people that I was speaking at the Brooklyn Christian Center, they act like I'm not even allowed in the church.
Reverend Dennis Dillon, pastor.
Our dear and beloved brother, Reverend Dennis Dillon, as pastor. Bring me that information on Carmen. Also, your information. Okay, so here we are. Let's try to get an answer to the question. Ma'am, and let me say this. The new Black Panther Party is going to Africa on a fact-finding and research mission. We have been invited by the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania to come to South Africa to study, to do fact-finding and research on what is the current situation in South Africa. Also, we're doing fact-finding in Zimbabwe and others of what is called the frontline states. And we have been invited by our friends in the PAC to also have serious discussions on building a Pan-African International Liberation Front, where a real liberation front, an alliance, an organization of organizations can be built that will help Africa. And so I have to say this, for all of those leaders that want to go with us, we're going on March 20th through the 28th, and on March 21st, which is the anniversary of the Sharpeville Massacre, where in Sharpeville in 1960, the resistance movement against the apartheid forces, many of our youth and our babies were cut down in Sharpeville. But Sharpeville is also a bright spot because it marks the origin of the Pan-African Congress of Azania, and it marks the origin of elite in the struggle against white supremacy and the apartheid government at that time. It gives birth to Robert Sobukwe and the Pan-African Congress and many others. So to Brother Chris Sankara and the others who are listening right now from Azania, South Africa, we have to let you all know that the black man and woman of America is sincerely interested in Africa.
Amen.
The black man and woman of America is not arrogant and act like he's going to Africa to be some kind of new colonialist or some kind of big shot from America. We're going home as a sacred pilgrimage and as a fact-finding mission so we can find out what is going on and see how we can help. And I've also been invited to speak at several mass rallies for the Sharpeville Anniversary Massacre.
Amen.
On March 21st, they've asked us to speak all over the country. To the extent I have to bring several ministers. Some of us will be speaking in Johannesburg, some in Cape Town, some in Soweto, all at the same time.
All right. Amen.
So, but we want y'all to come with us. We want leadership and those that want to participate in a fact-finding mission, not a tourist mission. I mean, we might see some of that. But this is a fact-finding, research, and political mission. If you're serious and we can clear your security, then y'all come with us. Because somebody got to go to Africa that will represent us to get answers. We're going to Africa March 21st. If you want us, you considering going with us, contact us. We'll give out some information. We're looking for leaders, journalists, and other organizers. Now, here's this, in a moment, and I'm going to let them take this question, my dear sister. It really hurts me. Hurts me to my heart to see the burned bodies of my Nigerians and my African brothers and sisters who are of the Christian faith, burned by other black people, blue-black people, the flesh of their own flesh, some of them from the same tribe, some of them inside Europe or Hausa or others, who just happened to be split by religion that was brought to Africa by outsiders.
That's right.
And killing each other over religion in Africa. And I think that we could make a difference. Somebody needs to bring some light from the West to the East.
That's right.
because it's us here in America that have shown that a black Muslim and a black Christian and a black Yoruba and a black brother or sister, whatever they face is, can get along as part of the same struggle. We have shown that to the world. They don't know that. You can't be no Muslim and no parent for an Arab at the same time.
That's right.
You're a Muslim second, but you're a black man first. You're a Christian second, you're a black woman first. We're black by nature, born black. We can't let nothing, no Bible, no Quran, no prophet, no instruction from Scripture get between us. We are the people of God. Don't let nobody turn us against each other. Hell no, for no reason. That hurt me. That hurt me. To see them bodies out there burned by black people who are killing them in the name of religion.
That's right.
We are Muslims, but we ain't that kind of Muslims.
That's right.
And I'm here to tell you that Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and even on another level, Minister Louis Farrakhan, taught us better.
That's right.
And we need to take that message to the world.
Right, sir.
Let me let these, some of these others jump on in. You speak about this often. Come on in here. This is Bashir Akinyele of the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition. Black power. All power to the people. No fat, peace. Brother, Chairman, it's always a pleasure to be here. I try to make it out every year for our dear brother, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, whom I work with, soldiers with, during every day of his life until the creative ancestors brought him on home. Brother Malik is one of the few world leaders that actually came on the ground in Newark, New Jersey to speak to the issue of, we call it black self-genocide, the killing of our own people by our own people, black-on-black violence, you may call it black-to-black, black-to-black, you may call it black-to-black violence. It's all genocide. And Brother Malik, like I said, is one of the few world leaders, not just a national leader, one of the few world leaders to speak to the issue. Our dear brother, Minister Farrakhan, recently came to Newark just a few months ago. Chuck B. And our good brother, one of the original Black Panther Party members, Aruba Bay-Wahad, spoke to this issue as well, came on the ground. The Newark Anti-Violence Coalition, again, every single week goes out, shuts traffic down, using civil disobedience, that means no permits, nothing, shut it down, the whole block, no drug dealing, no buses can come through, traffic, everything shuts down to raise the issue of black genocide played in the black community in America and throughout the world. Our heart pains every day about the violence that's going on in Africa in terms of the Christians and the Muslims killing each other, Brother Chairman. And we hope that leaders like yourself will raise, continue to raise it on a world stage that black-on-black violence, black genocide is not good. Again, we're taking the lead in Newark real strong, so much so that we don't get the credit that we believe we deserve in terms of organizing against the violence. In Chicago, how many have heard about what's going on in Chicago?
Murder capital.
Huh? How many black people were killed in Chicago this past year? Over 500 black people murdered in the city of Chicago, and nobody said nothing. And let me just say this, Brother Malik. Yes, our hearts went out for the children of Connecticut. Real talk. Black, white, or other, our hearts went out. But black babies have been dying from Jersey to California and all around the world, and nobody hasn't said nothing about it. The president on down, family. Nothing. No tears, no policies, no laws, nothing. Brothers like Malik came in, only brothers like Malik. This is why we value brothers like Malik, because they, and Minister Farrakhan, because they're the few leaders that speak to, continuously speak to the issue, whereas nobody says nothing. The president didn't say anything. Mayor Cory Booker, the mayor of the city of Newark, right, hasn't said one thing. One thing hasn't come out to one rally to speak about the death of black babies in the city of Newark, family. This is real. Come on. Crying. You know how many nights I've cried? I'm a school teacher in the city of Newark. If my 16 years, I've been teaching for 19 years, and my first 16 years of teaching, I lost 30 students to violence, family. Black kids. And no one has raised the issue yet, so please, we thank you. If you want to get down with us, we can be reached, and Rick always knows this. We can be reached on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Real Anti-Violence. Call us at Facebook page. Our email address is nadc@googlegroup.com. And Brother Malik, again, I want to thank you, but I just came to support, you know, this celebration. I was going to sit in the back, and Brother Malik said, brother, come on forward, brother. You're an organizer. I'm humbly grateful for that, brother. But anytime, if anybody wants to organize with us against this black genocide that's plaguing our community from America, all around the world, please get in contact with us. Again, my name is Brother Bashir, acting with Black Power, all power to the people of Hotel Peace.
All right. We're going to move it. I'm going to try to move fast. There's so many questions.
This is Brother Abbott.
It's the kind of, and there was a sister queen. Hold on.
She's right here behind him.
You go first, and Brother Abdul, but you right here. Come in the line, brother. There's so many hands. I will have. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I am the press secretary for the Committee to Honor Black Heroes. My name is Tawana and Benjamin. I just wanted to address a couple of things that I haven't heard from any of the speakers. Well, in reference to the political fight, first, we need to start by, like how the Jews do it. It's 55 people to a politician that, when they have a write-up concerning what needs to change in the community, and I believe we need to start doing it. Y'all can come to the Committee to Honor Black Heroes. I write letters. I'm a humanities and justice major, and my minor is theater at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I have an associate in criminal justice from Kingsborough Community College. I'm not afraid of the government. And I just wanted to share with you, in reference to the legal fight, I would like for you to look into, Mr. Shabazz.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like for you to look into the LSAC. That is the legal, that's the law school admission council. There are black African-American students, well, we could say pan-African students, complaining about test scores being low among our people, and they're giving these high grades to the Indians and the Caucasians, and I believe something discriminatory is going on with that, and I'm about to make some noise.
Come on, my way.
Come on. But I want to go about it the appropriate way, but I ain't scared.
Yeah.
That's one. Two. In reference to the economic fight, what I see, and I say my credentials in studying science, you know, because I can be a scientist, I'm a scientist in thought, that basically the economic fight, the heart and the core of our economic fight here in New York State, city, on all levels, is the foster care system. It's not the jail system, because without the foster care system, you don't have, without the foster care system, there would be no police, hospital, colleges, politicians working in cahoots with one another. I can identify that terminology, if I all due respect, as enterprise conspiracy.
Yes.
I would like to know how we can get that program into the Library of Congress and put a copyright on that.
Yes.
As a terminology that we can use. That is when auspices work together behind the scenes to conspire against people's rights that are in violation of Title 18, Section 241.
Woo!
Right. Run it down. Next, the educational fight.
Well, in reference to the
educational fight, I want to know how do we further go about discriminating against the CUNY system, that's the City University of New York and the State University of New York, regarding our colleges, where right now I have a 311 complaint with the, it is the mayor of the adult education and the consumer affairs against Kingsborough College for discriminating against Pan-Africans through that English department and also through the math department. They are holding students back on purpose because they're black, because they do not want to see us go into the college field, and I'll be damned, or what have you, that I allow that to happen. I already fought against John Jay because we have a racist security system, and they try to go against me for some Indian drill, and I let them know about my the violations of Title 18. Don't come at me with that. The frauds and swindles, no. That's another violation under Title 18 under FBI law. We got to look into that, because how are we going to to make in a society where knowledge is power if we got racist Jews blocking us from where we need to go? Let's get to the heart of the problem next. The spiritual fight will be addressed when we start from within ourselves. We all need to eat according to our blood type. That's one. Two, we need to tell the truth and love our, and we got to love people and tell the truth all day long. A united front, is it possible? I guess it all depends on basically us addressing these issues that I just mentioned, and I just want to demand for everyone to get involved.
Okay, yeah. let me say this. First of all, let's give her a strong round. Thank you so much. What I want to say is this. We have a good organization in place that needs more support. That organization is the Committee to Honor Black Heroes. Under the legacy of Abubadika Sunny Carson, who according to my study of that organization, specialized in combating urban problems that black people face in communities and providing solutions. I have much respect for the Committee to Honor Black Heroes and Brother Atim, who is not here, and Brother Ali Lamont. They're like my big brothers. And when we wanted to have the Million Youth March anniversary in Brooklyn, they stood against all opposition. They stood with us. So, my dear Queen, you've raised a litany of important issues that I would like to help you with some of. I am right now in the process of being admitted to the federal courts in New York City. We're fighting the federal courts in New York City. So that these constitutional claims you raise and these issues, which are really beyond the state level, they're constitutional questions, I would like to be able to help the Committee to Honor Black Heroes. We're fighting discrimination on the LSAT and other areas of schools. And I hear it all the time in New York, 17 schools closed. There are problems. And, you know, I can't promise what the whole world gonna do. I can't promise what a whole bunch of organizations will do. I can tell you what Attorney Shabazz will do with the Committee to Honor Black Heroes. And I will tell you this, that I have been driving and driving. I've been out of here for a minute, but I have been driving and driving to get the Panther Party in this city ready so that they can be a force that will back any demand that we have. The city does not want to see a strong and viable Panther Party in the city to back up these demands and to counter the racism.
That's right.
And so I can't go down every line, but I can say that with the permission of your leadership, that I would really like you to have my information and email, and I would like to review your cases, and I would like to see what legally and politically I can help. That's what I can say to you. All right? I want to help you. My email is ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. And I want to help you legally, and I want them to help you politically. And I'm pushing. I can't guarantee it. I'm pushing for a united front.
Amen.
I'm pushing with the December 12th movement, with the original Black Panther Party and the People's Survival Committee, and pushing with other black organizations and pastors here. What's your name, Queen? I think he's looking at you. Molly McLean. I'm out of New York for a minute. Your name rings a bell. Sankofa International Academy. You have to have some words, okay? I don't mean to disrespect you at all. Thank you so much. If you not leave a black woman out of this, 2013 is gone. Okay? Right on.
I just like to say to my dear sister here, I've been running the Sankofa School for 28 years. It's a small independent African centered school. And I'd like for you to visit it sometime. Right here, Colton and Schenectady, right across from Boys and Girls High. I feel most of the situations that arose tonight, you have a litany, so we have this of situations that we need to look into. I just left Reverend C. Herbert House. I had a meeting with him. he was the one that was responsible for calling on the Montgomery bus boycott. In that boycott, what they achieved was, what they found out was, if we teach our dollars some sense, okay, because no matter what goes on in our community, we constantly spend. Now, what we need to do is find a spot, whether it's downtown Brooklyn or King County, and say, do not shop there. Yes, we have to shop. Don't shop there. Shop somewhere else. Guess what? R.H. Macy's will call the mayor to come and sit down with you, me, and any of us that have a problem. Okay? Because it's well known, or it is said, that their God stands for guns, oil, and drugs. So with that in mind, that means dollars, money. If we cut off money at any level, they would not want that to spread. You say, well, maybe downtown is not the important place. Yes, it is, because principle is everything. They wouldn't want it to go out that we African-centered people stop their dollars from rolling in downtown Brooklyn. Okay? So let's teach our dollars some sense. Before we even leave here tonight, say, by June, we're not going to shop downtown Brooklyn, and you'll see a difference.
Come on. I'm Dr. Mohamed Stockley, pastor of the God Gave Today Baptist of the Jesus Church Baptist, our church is spoken by the world. I have an idea. Water. We do not have to buy other folks' water. Water is free. We can get with our organizations, whether they're mosques, churches, other community organizations, hook up a filter to the faucet. Filter the water, get some bottles from e-bottle or whatever. If you have any bottles, call me, I'll get you some bottles and put your own labels on it. Call your water, the main nutrients, or whatever name you want to call it. But we do not have to buy other folks' water.
That's right.
Now, what you do, you sell your water to the members of your organization, whether it be a church, community organization, schools, or whatever. The profits, the money you get from that water, put into a black bank. Do not put it in Master's Bank. Because it'd be the same, you have a problem all over again. Because Master's Bank does not give us money to finance our businesses. Okay? Water. Just simple water. We ain't got to buy other folks' water. Water's free. Just hook up
a filter.
That's right. Put it in some bottles. Put a label on it. Call it whatever you want it. Whatever you want.
That's right.
We ain't got to go nowhere.
Okay, that's it.
Hey.
She does want it. She does
want it. We're going to get into all of that in one second. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
Black power?
Black power.
Now, look.
Thank you.
I'm coming with the next question right here. Let me say this. I got questions coming in from across the nation. And they want to say, which should go without saying, they want to ask us, do we still believe in reparations?
Yes.
How many of you in the audience still believe and are willing to fight for reparations for black people? Well, let me say this here. At Jackson State University, on February 15th through the 17th, Jackson State University will be the next endowment or great sit-down for reparations at Jackson State University, February 15th through the 17th. You can call the number 601-979-1413. 601-979-1413. We're going to continue to move the panel, but what I want to do is echo. For 2013, we need to use the blackout option as much as possible. Businesses, cities, corporations, entities, and advertisers that offend our community and push policies, push music, push things in our lives that we don't like, we should not be supporting them with our dollars. And so for any black leader here or anywhere, I'm going to let you know that us and any group that I'm involved in, that when it comes to doing a blackout on somebody or what others call a boycott or an economic shutdown or punishing anybody with the power of our dollars, which is something that we can all relate to, the economic weapon, then I'm for it.
Amen.
We're looking for a fight.
Hello.
Looking to shut somebody down. Looking to penalize somebody. So we're here. I can't promise you what will happen, but I'm letting you know that we are here.
Amen.
And looking to, and not know the Panther Party looking to go in front of somebody's store. Somebody's been there looking for a fight. Are y'all looking for a fight?
Yes, sir.
The Panther Party looking for a fight, that we looking to find a fight.
Hello.
All right.
Hello. Now that's taking something away from somebody. Brothers are talking about water and other economic opportunities. And in a minute, my bag is coming in, and I'm hoping my website people got it right, because this year there's a program that we're pushing called Panthonomics. And Panthonomics is the new Black Panther Party saying that we will no longer just complain about our economic condition, but we are going to start moving products and moving services and employing young men.
Very good.
Yeah, and so from the West Coast in Los Angeles and throughout our nation, on our website, starting Monday, you can go on newblackpanther.com, and then you will be able to see the hats, the New Black Panther hats, New Black Panther shirts, New Black Panther soap, New Black Panther water. From all of our entrepreneurs, our products are now online. New Black Panther rice, New Black Panther pot, New Black Panther service. We have got to go in and start employing our people and employing our young men. And so I want you to remember the term, Panthonomics.
Panthonomics.
We got big plans.
Amen.
We want to include all of the vendors. I'll get into it. But we want to be able to go to black business and black vendors with our Panthonomics card and to be able to get a discount from those black businesses that participate in the program. It's a lot to it. But I can tell you this. In 2013, I plan on these young brothers and sisters being able to go into some righteous, non-exploited business. Some of that product is coming in right now from the vehicle. All right, we must buy black and support black.
That's right.
We must buy black and support black. We got to find these advertisers that are supporting these record labels that are forcing our artists to feed us filth, swine, and garbage, and we got to attack the advertisers.
All right, Black Power, my brothers and my sisters, Black Power, Black Power. We are back live on the air. First of all, giving a Black Power and a major thanks to our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, for his worldwide address that he gave this past Saturday from the Christian Life Center in Brooklyn, New York. That's the tribute the birth anniversary tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I do want to say that we will make this tape available for viewing and this audio available for listening. Please stay tuned to newblackpanther.com and newblackpanther.tv. Stay tuned to both of those networks and maybe even Black Lawyers for Justice, that website. Stay tuned to all of our networks, all of our major sites, and be prepared to view that in its entirety as you heard it. But there's nothing like seeing it live. And I want to, at this time, with the last 10 minutes of the show, yield to our National Chief of Staff, who had began to say his piece in the beginning of the broadcast and got disconnected. And I promised you all that we'd get him back on. So at this time, let me bring to the Black Power Radio our National Chief of Staff, Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir.
Black Power, can you hear me this time?
Yes, sir. Can hear you well. Welcome back, sir.
Brother, that is a that is what they call in TV and radio a rap. Shabazz, man, he really, really, really made me proud. I know the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad's spirit is jumping all over the place, because there's no greater love and no greater way to show love for a mentor, a teacher, a person that you call your father, a person that you have traveled a journey with, other than to continue the journey. I was saying earlier, and I don't know how much I got in, that me with Dr. Khalid Muhammad, from April 1st, 1994, until the moment in the second he left us spiritually. He was such a mentor and such a father figure to all of us, and such a leader, and most of all, such a friend. And I was saying that Malcolm got to write his book with one of the greatest writers of all time, Alex Haley. And unfortunately, Doc didn't get to write his. But they didn't come back and make a Malcolm movie, I think, Spike Lee, until 1991. So it's never, I'm just letting the listening audience know that the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Attorney Malik Dulu Shabazz, and the national team, the central committee, and the chapters around the country and around the world, we will never, ever, ever forget our Black Power General. We will never let his work disappear. I was telling them that John Henry Clark, our great teacher, taught us, if you got a leader and you believe in him and something happens and he make a spiritual transition, you give him a proper burial, but the way you honor your leader, you keep his work and keep his movement going. And I know the listening audience tonight found out we've been doing national Black Power conferences. We've been doing all kind of different events for the last 13, 14 years since our national generals left us. We've been doing newspapers. We got www.newblackpanther.org, www.newblackpanther.com. We got New Black Panther TV. We got Black Power Radio. Attorney Shabazz got the national, his national Black Lawyers for Justice. We've been dealing with so many people, like our leader taught us, from Dr. Karenga to Dr. Akbar to Pastor Jeremiah Wright to Minister Farrakhan to Brother Mike Roberts, Sister Erica Badu. It's just so many people. We, our political prisoners, actors, entertainers, Tim Reed, we just spreaded our wings. But tonight, brother, I think our national chairman brought it home that the little cubs have became full-grown Panthers, and I'm so proud of, once again, our national chairman for doing that tribute to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad there in Brooklyn with so many different other brothers, Dr. Leonard Jeffries and others. We'll be all night if we try to start calling names. But I just want to say that Panther Economics is about to take us to another level. Dr. Khalid Muhammad was a traveler. He'd been all over Africa, been so many places geographically. And now people are hearing that the leadership of the New Black Panther Party is going to go into South Africa with a committee. And they hear now that Minister and Doctor and our professor, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, now has took the justice system to another level by now being able to operate in the federal courts where so many of our people are lost. And it's just a proud day for the black nation as we understand the FBI and COINTELPRO and how they totally came together and brought committees together in 1956 and 1957 and how they totally crushed the original Panther Party by 1971. J. Edgar Hoover had infiltrated the movement to the point and weakened the movement internal to where it basically disappeared. The programs disappeared that was helping our people. The operations that they put in line to help our people disappeared, and the advancement of the FBI in the covert operation that was totally illegal. And they didn't mind writing a check. They didn't mind getting sued. But one thing they wanted to do was stop the rise of a black messiah, stop the organizing of black groups from all over the nation. And here we are, 2013, organizing. God is still God. J. Edgar Hoover is not God. The documents he left, the electronic surveillance that destroyed our people, the use of his agents and false agents, and the different programs that he put together against our people have not stopped us. Them assassinating Dr. King, assassinating Meg Everett, assassinating Malcolm X, and on has not stopped us. It has only gave us new fear. And now here we are again. For some people that listen to Dr. Shabazz's speech tonight, and some of the other brothers and sisters, as he talked about economic development, I want them to remember, as this is the month of Dr. King's birth also, Dr. King's last speech that he gave in Memphis, the first 15 minutes of that speech, he talked about boycotting rainbow bread, boycotting Coke. He talked about taking all your black money and taking and putting it in black banks. But the only thing they want to play is the last 15 minutes when he talked about he'd been to the mountaintop and he wasn't fearing no man, and he talked about him leaving us. I challenge anybody to go back and listen to his full speech. And he was talking just like Dr. Shabazz talked tonight. So it's just time, brother, that we realize that black nationalism is not going to go nowhere. It's going to grow. Our young people going to understand nationalism is not a bad word. It means people want a nation of their own. They want to control their own commodities. They want to control their own spirituality. They want to control their own health care system. They want to control their own education. They want to control their universities. They want to control what their young people are hearing and doing. They want to be young activists. They don't want to be shut down at a young age and lined up to go to these penitentiaries. They want to be independent thinkers, critical thinkers. They want to be analytical and not emotional. And the operation that Attorney Shabazz started tonight with this speech puts us on the road to self-help, not begging, self-help. Black-on-black economics, not black-on-black crime. And self-love, not self-hate. You know, the COINTELPRO, as we talked about, and if Dr. Khalid Muhammad was here, he would talk about how the system has neutralized so many people, and now and discredit groups like the New Black Panther Party, using the general public, TV and print media, underground newspapers, and the Jewish Defense Legal Fund, I mean the JDL and the ADL. But this is a new day we create now. Black Panther Radio, Black Panther TV, and our own newspaper, where now we are in a position to tell our own story. And once again, I got to keep bringing it back up, Panther Economics, because you will be hearing about it, and it will be something that you will truly understand. But one thing I'm proud to introduce is Black Panther TV that's coming soon. So the people that don't know about Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, don't know about what happened when they falsely went into Fred Hampton's house and assassinated them, and William O'Neill, the FBI agent, what happened December 4th, 1969. They will finally know what the true story about Geronimo Pratt. They will hear about Dick Gregory and the different things that Dick Gregory's and the Stokely Carmichaels and the Jeff Fords and so many people that you can't hear about on regular TV. And Brother Sean, it's just an honor to create a situation that we're honoring the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, not with talk, not with speeches, but with action and with detailed action. And the national chairman is enforcing the most powerful thing you can enforce on God's planet, and that is the first book of Genesis. God give us dominion over everything. He didn't give the white man dominion. He didn't give the Jew dominion. He didn't give the Portuguese dominion. He didn't give the Dutch dominion. He gave all man dominion, which means us. And when you go back and you study history, the African knew he had dominion. And that's how them pyramids got there. That's how civilization got started. That's how you get your first educational systems. That's how you get your first medicine. And somewhere, somebody hit us in the head and told us we were buffoons, told us we were suited for prison, and we were suited to be dysfunctional. And we didn't have no God. Now we done found our God, and we're fighting back. And, Sean, I just want to thank you for hosting this show and doing an awesome job every night. And once again, I want to thank Attorney Shabazz for making the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad so proud on this night.
Yes, sir, Brother Minister. It's the National Chief of Staff. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you, sir, for your labor right now with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Shabazz, and with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Thank you for all that you do, Brother Minister Hashim.
Well, we appreciate it, when I get to talking about this man, they used to call Harold Moore Van out of Houston, Texas, and I get to thinking about his history and him in New Orleans at Dillard University in 1967, and after Elijah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad death in 75, him working with Minister Farrakhan to rebuild a nation and doing so many things in his lifetime, man, that a lot of people don't know about him, over the West Coast, being the Minister of the West Coast in Mosque number 27 in Los Angeles, and then coming to Atlanta in the 80s and being over the mosque here. And then, of course, in 88, he served a short 3-year prison term, so he understands prison ministries, because he got caged up by this white man for a while, but he didn't stop. He came out in the 90s and was appointed to mosque number 7 in New York, which we know that was the mosque that the great and is well known, that that's the mosque that Malcolm X built, and Minister Farrakhan was once the minister there, and Minister Khalid Muhammad got to be the minister of Mosque number 7 in New York, for people who don't know his history, and then went on to become the national spokesman. And man, he has did so many things in his short 53-year life, because it was a short 53 years, but he left so much for us to study and so much for us to talk about. We could talk about it all night, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir, I know you can. I know you can, and we should. And we'll have to devote a show just for you to come back and really, really share your experiences, your times, your travels, the sights, the sounds, the things that you experience, and some of the lessons that you learn. We're going to have to do that here soon, for real.
Yeah, because, man, if we ever do that, it'd take a whole show because, you know, in 1994, they thought they had finished them off when they, Jane Best tried to gun him down in Riverside, California, but after that, he just got stronger, you know. But on and on and on and on, the main thing to say tonight is the gods are happy. The gods are happy anytime we bring our spiritual ancestors back, and they live through us. As long as we doing this in respect of truth and honor and dignity, and we transcend our spiritual leaders and teachers, the Frederick Douglass, the Booker T. Washington, the Elijah Muhammad, the many, many that, the you know, the Noble Drew Ali's, you know, and the scientists of the world, George Washington Carver's, and the great Marcus Garvey. There's so many we can name, but Dr. Collett night was the night, and it was awesome. Thank you so much, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Minister Hashim and Zinger. Brothers and sisters, that's our National Chief of Staff, Brother Minister Hashim and Zinger, sharing with us his experiences, his times, and just giving tribute and paying homage to a beautiful, bold black man who sacrificed much for us and sacrificed his blood for us. To stand on the foundation that we stand on and move the way that we're moving, talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We want to thank again our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, for pushing hard and persevering and pushing on. Pushing on. And, of course, our national chief of staff as well, Minister Divine Allah, Minister Zaid Muhammad, all of those who have been rocks and cornerstones, who I'm naming and those who I'm not naming, just for the sake of time, but all of those who have been cornerstones who soldiered and labored direct with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and have pushed on all of these years. And now it's bared much fruit and a plentiful harvest. And we're able to continue on in this Panther tradition and in this organization called the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense to build a mass movement. Thanks to all. And most of all, we thank God Almighty, as you heard the National Chief of Staff say, for giving us another chance to push forward and for blessing us with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and his family and sons and all of those who helped him to be who he was and us to be who we are. So, brothers and sisters, make sure that you please, please stay tuned to Black Power Radio. Make sure that you stay tuned for NewBlackPanther.com, NewBlackPanther.tv, NewBlackPanther.org, New Black Panther hats, New Black Panther shirts, New Black Panther socks, whatever we can get to put that panther on, we're going to put that panther on. The national chairman says it's panther economics, that the black man and black woman under his charge must go to work, that we must do for ourselves, we must produce for ourselves. We must stop complaining about what we don't have and go get what we have and make what we have and produce what we need to thrive and survive in this time, in this day, at the fall of America. And so it's black power for black people. It's all power to the people. And remember this, as I say always, if black people are not free, nobody's free. Happy birth anniversary to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. May his works, his legacy, and may his mission continue on forever, forever and ever in us. Black Power.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed.
Yes, that's right.
Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood.